Is anybody full of expectation? If you are, shout hallelujah. I am full of expectation. We are going to do, you know, we go as we are late. We are going to do a kind of revision because the Lord said to me, he said, don't rush this thing. He said, don't rush this thing. Don't move. Because this is a very critical thing that Christians must know, must understand, must be familiar with. And so we just follow him because I'm not your teacher. He is our teacher. So we're going to go through the things as he has instructed me that we do. And then move on. I have about 16 pages of written stuff. We will not finish it today. Maybe it will last some weeks. But as we, whatever we stop, the next time we continue. Praise the Lord. But we do a kind of revision. The thing we focused on at the Living Word Conference is healed, delivered, and what? Set free. And we took a text from John 8:36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free how? Indeed. Now, I want to remind us of this very important thing, brethren. I want you to please look up here and listen to me. You must know that all your blessings come through the works of grace. All your blessings come through the works of what? Grace. It's so important that you must say it to yourself. Remind yourself what I said. All my blessings come through the works of grace. Tell yourself what I said. Come on. All my blessings come through the works of grace. Say it one more time. All my blessings come through the works of grace. That's why the scripture says it's not by power, it's not by might, but by his spirit. So it's not by what you do. It's not by your power, it's not by my might. It's exclusively by what God gave us through Jesus Christ. It's called works of grace because all of them are merited. They are in fulfillment of promise and not response to human activity. It's in fulfillment of divine promise. And so, if you want to enjoy them, again, listen to this one. If you want to enjoy them, you must be familiar with what the works of grace are telling you. Because the works of grace are revealing to you the works of grace. The words of grace are revealing to you the works of grace. The words of grace reveal to us the works of grace. Words of grace, what do they reveal to us? The works of grace. And the works of grace is God's delivering to you, making good on every promise he made to mankind through Jesus Christ. God has made good on all of it. There's nothing remaining. That's why he said, I've given to you all things that pertain to life and what? Godliness. Through the knowledge of his son. Through the knowledge of his son. Through the knowledge of his son. And so, the scripture tells us in Acts 20 verse 32, very critical, brethren. Very important. Acts 20 verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of what? His grace. I commend you to God. I hand you over to God and to the word of his grace. What does the word of grace do? Which is able to build you up and give you what? An inheritance among all those who are sanctified by faith that is in Christ Jesus. The church is commended to God, handed over to God, and to the word of his grace. The grace of God is what God did in Christ. He delivered, he made good, he gave to us. They are all unmerited. They are all works of favor. They are all what God promised, which he delivered. There is none of them that is as a result of what a man did. Not one. When God made a promise to Abraham, Abraham did absolutely Nothing. Actually, Abraham was living among the heathens. You want to know the family of Abraham? You check when Isaac went to marry. What did Rebekah steal? It was their family idol. It was their family idol that Rebekah stole and hid. Which means that's the idol they have been worshiping in their family. Who? Rachel. It's Rachel, yeah. Rebekah, Rachel. All stars. Yeah, it's Rachel. Rachel, the wife of Jacob. No, not Isaac, yeah. Isaac is the first son. After Isaac, then Jacob. That's their father. So Rachel, yeah. Rachel stole the idol. That idol was a family idol. The Bible described it as family idol. That's what Abraham worshipped. And yet, in the midst of that, God came to him and said, Abraham, leave thy people. Leave all these idol people. Leave them alone. And go to a place where I will what? Show you. Prior to that, we didn't have any record that Abraham did anything else. And the promise that God gave to Abraham is the promise that we have called the blessings of Abraham. He gave it to Abraham and his seed, and that is Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, I want you to hear another one. Please hear this one. There is no way you can be conformed to the image of Christ except through what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. There is no other way. There, you can struggle, you can teach 10 commandments all you want. There is no way you can conform to the image of Christ. There is no way you can be transformed to be like Jesus. There is no way. There is absolutely no other way except that which Christ has fulfilled for you, which you received when you came to him. There is no other way. You can't. Which other way? Except he gives you life, his life, how can you be like him? Except Jesus gives you his life, how can you be like him? The Ten Commandments give you his life. I'm asking you, which law gave you life? The Bible says there is no law that can give life. And so, please listen to me, church, because wrong teaching will set you on like Samson. You be on a treadmill, blind, get nothing. And the Philistines will ruin your life for nothing. Absolutely zero. Samson's eye was plucked out. The Lord told me once, he said that an ignorant Christian is like Samson. And the Philistines will put him, they will drain him of energy, drain him. He won't sleep. He's praying to him. He won't sleep. There is no way, the church of God, there is no way you can be like Jesus except through what Jesus accomplished, except that which God accomplished, except through that work of grace which was fully accomplished and delivered to you when you came to Christ. That's what will make you to be like Jesus. That's it. There is no other means, no other way. I determine to be good will make you. Case closed. Christians shouldn't tell lies. Won't make you. Because except the Lord build the house, who is the Lord? Jesus. David told us this. Except the Lord what? Build that house. Those that are building, and many are building, thinking they are good. But you want to look at Christendom and look at families and look and see for yourself how much we have built and where we're. I was talking to somebody today from long distance. I said, how come that in spite of so much churches all over our country, every house is a church. Everybody is now it's an apostle. Bishop is no more enough. We have so many apostles. Summer is coming. They'll soon come here. Don't people come bother me here. If you come here, I won't talk to you. Leave me alone. I will know them. Don't come here and bother me because summer is coming. They'll start trooping to America. I've warned you now. So I said, all these apostles and things, how come that once you bring money, Christianity dies? Once you start dealing with somebody and money is involved, Christianity. How come that we haven't been able to control our emotions? That anger, resentment, bitterness is still ruling people who say they've been in church for years. How come? Isn't there wonder? How come that humility is not really there? Respect is not there. Pentecostals are too familiar with Jesus. They don't have respect for him. I'm telling you, I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. They don't respect authority. They don't respect anything. Absolutely not. Go to Roman Catholic Church. If the Reverend Father says anything, nobody, that's what they're doing. Ah, you people came from there. That's what they're doing. Pentecostals, they will carry their pastor, beat him up. That's one of the reasons I said to God, I don't want to be a pastor. One of the major reasons I said, God, I don't want. Because I saw what they do. Saw what they do to it. Me and my wife, we'll go to some meetings. We'll be shocked at what they do to their pastors. And one time I told a couple of them, I said, you will pay incredible price for what you're doing. And they did. Those three men did. All of them did. They went around telling people that I'm their problem. I said, I'm not your problem. I'm telling the truth. You will pay incredible price for this. God said to Lord, leading this man. Okay. God said to his prophet, the prophet of Israel. He said, it's not you that they rejected. It is me. Because I appointed you. Who is that prophet? Samuel. He said, it's not you, Samuel. It's me. And step aside. It's between me and them. It teaches me, and the only answer is that the Christians are not listening to the right doctrine. They're not listening to the word. There's no way to explain this thing. Even in America, here among churches, many people sit in church who have gone and bought things from their fellow sisters. They are not paying. They are still not paying, and they are coming to church. What? And there is no conscience at all. They are really comfortable with it. And they are going to buy more from the same sister. They know they won't pay. I don't know what mindset that is. And it's happening. And so, we need to come back to the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you will know what? The truth. And the truth will set you free from all this carnal stuff. This carnality. All of it. If you know the level of quarreling among Christians, level of quarreling and stubbornness, resistance to the Holy Spirit, arrogance. Are we going to carry these things to the grave? I haven't opened this in the Lord. I'm actually the Lord, you just teach. I first stepped, I said, Lord, teach us what you want to do. Brethren, we must go back to the word of his grace. We've imbibed the law too long. It's left us exactly what the scripture said, the letter kill it. But the spirit giveth what? Life. The letter kill it. He called the law the ministry of death. Can't produce the life of Jesus. The only thing that can transform me, transform you, transform anybody, and I'm telling the truth, the only thing, brethren, is not do's and don'ts, is the spirit of the Lord himself. For who maketh it to be different from the other? Is he not God? Except the Lord built. And the Lord said, I've given you all things you need for life and what? Godliness. Through the knowledge of his son. Go and know his son and see what grace has given you for life and godly living. The doctrines of God is in accordance with godliness, being like Jesus Christ. Church, my brothers and sisters, I was talking to the Lord recently. I said, Lord, I asked you to do this. And I said, Lord, you didn't do it. He said, well, I said, the things I asked you to do, did you do them? I said, no, Lord, I didn't do this. He said, why are you bothering me? He said, you want to use me. You can't use me. It wasn't 2 days ago. He said, you can't use me. He said, if I tell you to do something, you don't do it, why was it good for me to do what the one you tell me to do? Then where's my honor? Where's my respect? If I'm God, he asked me. 2 days I was thinking on it, meditating on it. So if I want God to do so, I tell him. But when God tells me what to do, I won't do. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? But you won't do what I say. And the Lord reminded me. He said, didn't you read my Bible? That I said in the scripture, my father heareth me always because I do always those things that are pleasing to him. If he tells me to do, I do. So if I tell him to do, he does. So I do always. I listen to him. So, listens to me. We are too familiar with God. We speak in tongues. And I'm afraid for Pentecostalism, I'm telling you. I got text from somebody. Give me my Bible. This person didn't know what I'm going to say. I didn't even know what I'm going to say. But the Lord inspired him to send me this. I'll read it to you. He sent it to me. He said, Pastor Chinedu, I think you need this thing. And I'm going to read it when this thing loads up. So the reason I'm saying this is that there can't be any explanation to this kind of life that doesn't conform to Christ, except that we haven't taken the works of grace seriously. We're using it only to get, we're using it only in the area of healing, in the area of this, but it's also in the area of a new life. For if any man is in Christ, he's also in that area too. It's not only in the area of Abraham blessings of prosperity of money and this. It's also in the area of being a new creature. And all things of the sinful nature has passed away. That's how God transformed us to be like his son. It's also in that area. And that's why if you come to churches, there's not too much respect for the presence of God. People walk around what they like because they don't know who is there. You know, there are certain things you can't do, really, if you're in this way. You find it difficult. Because your spirit is tuned to the spirit. You find it difficult. Very difficult. You can't be tuned in the spirit, and the spirit of God is here, and you're wondering about and chatter. It means you don't know who is here. You're not even here. So this is what my friend sent me, without knowing. Just this evening, and I was surprised. I'm going, wow, this is amazing. My phone is 9 years old, so it takes time to load. He said, I just spoke to a group of businessmen in New York early this morning. I was reading this letter in my devotions. Proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. Rise to the occasion and preach when it is covenant and when it is not. Preach in the full expression of the Holy Spirit with wisdom and patience as you instruct and teach the people. Through this 2 Timothy 4:22. Thought this might be an encouraging word for you today. So I sent it to you. Tell me this is not God sending this to me. Tell me. Tell me this is not the Spirit of God already sending me. He said, preach it. Whether they like it or what, or not. That he just sent it to me. He said, I taught you. Brethren, we should wake up. God is ready. The church must be ready. We're not seeing the glory yet. To the extent we should see it. If we honor him, he will honor his body. Can I hear amen? You gain nothing from pride and arrogance. You gain nothing. Part of what I'm going to teach you after with time is the life of Esau. How the Lord was teaching me how the church is missing something. Because they're living the life of Esau. They have no respect for their birthright. They have no respect for the things I paid and gave them as their birthright. They trample, they are contempt for it. They're not studying it. They don't care about it. He said, they sell it for stew. They sell it for stew. They have no respect for the things I died for. They are birthright. He said, they believe the life of Esau. He said, the tragedy is sometimes they lose their marriage, lose their life, lose their health, lose their money. And sometimes those things are irrecoverable, like Esau couldn't recover his own because it was too late. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Let's come down from our high horses. Let God put you where you should be. Stop putting your, this I know they hear thing. It's ruining your life. So Acts chapter 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So our inheritance comes from the word of his grace. That's what I'm trying to say. The church should focus on the word of his grace and find out what the inheritance he provided us through the works of his grace. Part of it is new creature. And so this is the summary of the inheritance that he gave us through the work of his grace. That's the sixfold blessings. We summarized it so that it will be easy to go through that. You can put it in any other way you want, but these six subheadings help us to capture it, encapsulate it. So we're going to go through that again. The work of his grace. Everybody say the work of his grace. Say it louder, come on. So he redeemed us from sin, sin and its penalties. That's number one, we said. He redeemed us from sin and its penalties. And we talked about our freedom from sin is that it changed our nature. We were locked up in the old nature of sin. Man was locked up in his nature of sin. And when we came to Christ, he performed a circumcision, not a physical one, and cut off the old nature of sin. That's a huge deliverance for me and for you. And that's what I'm saying. How can you have the nature of Christ and be like Christ unless the old nature is caught what? Cut off. So being like Jesus is not something you wake up and be telling everybody, you have to be like Jesus, be like Jesus. We've been struggling. When have we ever been? We go back to these things he did and begin to believe them, and they begin to walk, the Holy Spirit begin to walk it out. Colossians 2:11. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision. The cutting away of your sinful nature. That's a major deliverance. To everybody that comes to Jesus Christ, our sinful nature, that nature that bears grudge, that nature that won't forgive, that nature that is satanic, that nature that is sinful, is gone. You didn't get it by behavioral pattern or whatever. You got it through the work of grace. Can I hear amen? He said it's not a physical circumcision. That nature is gone. You live in the provision of the new nature. You live in the provision of the new nature. This is done by faith only. We live in the provision of the new nature. By the word of his grace, he reveals to us that one of the major works of grace I've done for you is that while you were yet sinners, I died for you so that this nature of sin will be cut off when you come to me. And the penalties of sin too, in Isaiah 53, verse 6 from verse 9. Let me read from verse 8. Isaiah 53 from verse 8. I'm reading the King James Version. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. For the transgression of my people was he what? Stricken. For the transgression of me and you, my people, we are his people. For this transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. Why all this? Why all this? When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied with that sacrifice. What will be the benefit of all that pain and grief? By his knowledge. You see, it's the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's the knowledge of his grace. It's not the knowledge of 10 commandments of Moses. It's the knowledge of his grace. Is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Church, is by his knowledge. By his knowledge. The Holy Spirit wrote it in plain sight. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Simply by his knowledge we become justified. For he shall bear their iniquities. So we're free from the penalties of sin. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When we come to our prayer conference, by the grace of God, we're going to study how to really pray. That's a packed prayer place in all of this. So we are redeemed from death and hell. Again, we need to honor the word of God. We need to respect the word of God. We need to take it as the word of God. This is not lullaby. This is not lullaby. This is the Holy God of the Holy God that gave us his word. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. We have been rescued from the terrors of the coming what? I didn't hear you. Of the coming what? Judgment. Of the coming judgment. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. He gave himself a ransom for what? For all. To be testified in due time, which is what we are testifying before you people this night. That Jesus paid a ransom. If you pay the ransom, I don't have to pay anything else. I don't have to pay anything else by any means, by whatever. He's paid a ransom for me. And I'm free. There is no demand. That's why Jesus said, God said, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and what? Just. Because I put on him the penalty of your sins. I'm faithful and just. I will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. I cannot be unjust. I can't go smash my son, put him through all this grief, turn around and put you through grief again. So when people preach to you that God gave you sickness, it's all nonsense. It's not Bible. It's ignorance.